This evening, we are blessed with the presence of Reverend Father Aju Philip Matthews. Ajun is presently serving as the Assistant Vicar of St. Mary's Orthodox Church in Philadelphia. At this time, we invite Ajun to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Let us pray. Grant us, Lord God, knowledge of your divine word, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gift, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit, and grant us that with joy you may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessing and mercy in you, our Lord and our God, now and forever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the passage for today's devotional is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 28 through 35. The reading comes from the Nativity story, where at the appointed time, Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus to the temple for the presentation of the child to God in the customary offering. Here we see the priest, the prophet Simeon, make a very famous proclamation, and it reads, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to thy people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. Amen. Beloved, as we pray together and meditate together on this, the eve of the feast of the falling asleep of the Holy Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos, I hope to bring your minds and thoughts and hearts to a very beautiful point about our Holy Mother. Mary's story is an amazing one, and at times just unbelievable. But then again, that is how God works, isn't it? He works in the impossible, the unbelievable, the amazing. So does the story of Mary begin. A young girl in her early teens, living in the temple and dedicating her life to the work of the Lord, is approached by an angel of the Lord. She is given a great task to bear the Son of God, not just any Son of God, but the heir of the throne of the kingdom of God and the heir to the worldly throne of the kingdom of David. And you know what, Mary? Here's another piece of amazing. Your cousin Elizabeth, the barren one, yeah, she's going to have a child too. Now, whereas we would have replied with a woe or with a get out of here, or maybe even, I got to call the paranormal activity team, Mary, the now pregnant, unmarried, single mom from a judgmental community and family, says, Behold, the handmaiden or the slave of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. Simple. In our words, sure, Lord, I'll do it. And for this, Mary, life doesn't get easier. You would think, and many of us would say, that if God asked us, that we would say yes. We would expect life to become easy. That's because we're either afraid or we think that because God has talked to us directly, He's going to take care of all the associated risks and problems. Well, ask Mary. God gives grace. Grace to do the necessary. So God gave Mary grace. Plenty of it. It's why we call her full of grace. But we should understand something. Mary experienced the fullness of human emotion and pain and suffering in being chosen. She was the best of the best of humanity. She didn't get a throne, not yet at least. She didn't get a crown, not yet at least. She didn't get her favorite sports wagon or a beautiful crib that MTV would check out. Being chosen meant for her bearing a cross that wasn't even glorified yet. And Simeon says something to her that would have broken the hearts of many who claimed to be the chosen one. He says in Luke chapter 2, verse 35, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed." He says, your son is meant for greatness, but you, Mary, your soul will be pierced with a sword. How does a person handle that? We know from Scripture that Mary kept all such things in her heart and pondered them. She was always keeping in her meditation the things that were told to her, not just by the angel Gabriel, but also the priest Simeon and the people around her. Think about it. When people made fun of her and called her a harlot for being with child and no husband, or even with a husband as old as Joseph was, she kept it in her heart. When as a young mother she was raising Jesus and the townspeople murmured about her, she kept it in her heart. When her son Jesus began his ministry and people called him and his family crazy and chased him out of their hometown, Nazareth, she kept it in her heart. When people stoned him, she felt the pain too, but she kept it in her heart. When circles of Pharisees and the politicians spat accusations against her son, and when they plotted against him, I'm sure she wanted to run to his defense, but she kept it in her heart. And watching her son arrested, put on trial, beaten, abused, mocked, cut, and then hung on a cross, she cried and cried. She must have. She must have been destroyed on the inside and the outside. She must have reached for him, screamed for him. But along with the other screams and craziness of that moment, her cries were drowned out to the world, so she kept it in her heart. Today, when we hear her story, we try to relate. We cry. We become emotionally caught up in her experience. But we fail to imitate her life. She was chosen to be the God-bearer specifically because she was a perfect representation of us. She was in all ways like us, sinful, scared, worried, but her determination to do the will of God set her apart. We could look at her and relate to her and imitate, but we don't. When we are called by God, we say no. We say maybe sometimes. We look for something else that we think may be the true calling. When the calling comes with difficulties, we quit, we complain, and we whine. We don't ponder their meaning and purpose in our hearts. We don't really bring our troubles to God. We as a community especially like to air our dirty laundry and our problems, bring as many people into it as possible, create size, and we know the end result is just more drama, no solution. I know that in my life, Mary has been a great inspiration. Her life example was a major reason why I didn't run when the going got really tough for me. I remained as faithful as I could be, despite the fact that even my closest friends were not faithful. So I tried my best to keep it in my heart and bring it before God. I can say that I didn't succeed all the time. My weaknesses got the better of me at times, and I complained and I cried. But I always knew what I was supposed to. And so today, I try to keep that practice of the Theotokos to the best of my ability, that is, to ponder things in my heart. I know that to follow Christ, to do his will, is to have a sword piercing my soul. And you know what? I'm ready. The question is, are you ready? So let us be ready, and let's be ready together. Do his will, not just in name, but in word, in deed, and thought. May the prayers of the Holy Virgin Mary the Theotokos and all the saints be for our blessing. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks and blessings for his living words to us, unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.